Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. And welcome to the Life Talk Show. Our topic today is one of my absolute favorites, and we're going to have an incredible guest who we'll bring on in a few minutes. Her name is Gail Blanke, and she is the author of soon to be 5 books, one of which I have read and loved and still need to implement fully, but maybe she will inspire us today. So I'm Randy Kay here with Diana Hall and Nikki Tombolides. How you doing, ladies? What's going on?
Very well,
Randy,
thank you.
Terrific. How are you doing?
We're also excited to have Gail with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And the show, Why Throw Out 50 Things?
Well, you know, I mean, here we are nearly at the end of January, and we've talked about resolutions, so we're not going to go there again. But I know one of the things I did prior to December 31st, and I must admit it was partly because of the tax deduction, is I had this whole corner of my house with plastic bags full of things for Goodwill. And I brought them to Goodwill. My son and I brought them over, and I left there feeling 10 pounds lighter.
Right.
It's amazing. Yeah, plus with a receipt for a tax donation. Sure. So that was great. So my opening question to you guys is, what's the last thing? Now, Nikki, you know, and listeners to our show know that you've just done a major rehaul of part of your home.
Yeah,
we did a
the
whole
bedroom,
show about
so
it.
So a right. lot had to be thrown out.
So I'm assuming there was some letting go of possessions involved.
Absolutely.
In there.
So
although
yes, it was.
The show will go deeper than that today, but let me ask you, what's the last thing that you brought to Goodwill or recycled to somebody else or just let go of in your home, and why?
Well, it's for me, and it's interesting, we marked the December 31st because I almost did the same exact. It was the beginning of the year, specifically January 1st, and my family had family overnight for the new year, and the next day when everybody left, I cleaned house, wanted the Christmas decorations away. But not only did I do that, but a couple of days before New Year's, for some reason, I decided to invest in all new dishes, glasses, bowls, that sort of thing. So I went through my cabinets after I put all the Christmas decorations away on New Year's Day, went through all my cabinets and put all of my new dinnerware and glassware and bowls and all my new things in my cabinets, which was so beautiful to look at,
right?
And got rid of all of those things. You know, the things that have chips in them,
yeah.
or the baking sheets, yeah, that are, you know, with stuff still crusted on them. I'm sorry if I just grossed everybody out,
no,
but it's
no.
the truth. It's
You're
hard
right.
to get.
Yeah.
And so,
so you started new.
So I started new.
Wow.
And where did
year.
Those where did those things go? The chip things, obviously, you throw out.
You know, I kind of 86'd everything because a lot of the stuff that I threw, I was really just all
they
cracked
were kind
and
of had
old.
Issues.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I did take the dishes that I had that were still really good, and I just moved them up to the top shelf of the cabinet. So when I have company,
you clean house.
I clean
you clean
house.
Kitchen.
Yeah, I clean kitchen.
Clean cabinets.
And
so
what
how
did
that feel?
Feeling.
How did that feel?
Great feeling. It
yeah.
still is beautiful. Even my children say, Mom, mm. they love opening the cabinets to our new white dishes and everything organized.
It's
just such
spanking,
a good feeling.
Sparkling.
It's
yeah.
letting go of old stuff. When we redid our kitchen several years ago, you know, you live kind of with a microwave and a coffee maker and
sure.
paper plates for however long it takes, which is, you know,
yes,
you're an interior decorator. You know
well,
how long
it's a
lot things
of
take.
Fun. Oh, yeah.
So, but then
yes.
when it comes to putting things back in the new cabinets, you can't put those chip mugs in there. You
no.
can't. You can't
yeah.
put those mismatched. Oh, in case we ever have
it
15 people over
fit.
For dinner, they must have china, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It feels that they don't fit there.
Yeah.
The old chipped stuff.
Yeah,
you need
definitely.
New, fresh.
Letting go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that's definitely one of the things we'll talk about. But of course, to bring in the new, we have to kind of let go of the old. So Nikki,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You when you redid your home.
Yeah,
what did you have to toss?
We did, and actually, we brought it to the show that we did Project Nikki for the bedroom. And a lot of things I had to throw out. And there's a time that you say, my God, I just bought this, and then I'm not, I don't like it anymore. And you invested money. And anything that you pay money for, you feel like, oh, my God, I don't want to throw it. You feel like, as my dad used to say, take the $50 you bought it and put it on fire, because this is like you invested that money.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons we hang on to things.
Yeah,
so tell me one thing you got rid of. What did you let go of, and how did it feel?
Okay, well, I believe it or not, I was shocked. I got rid of all my bedroom set.
Which was very difficult to encourage her to do.
But there was a mirror in my bedroom that I loved that was kind of like I got it from Ethan Allen. And it was nice. And I was just like, okay. And the people that came to get the bedroom goes, Nikki, are you giving us that? I'm like,
You had a hard time. I have to say, on Project Nikki, I do this as an interior designer, and I do this with all
Diane
my clients.
Was the boss for that.
Really, and having to convince clients. Now, it's interesting. You had me come in. Clients hired me to come in to redecorate, but redecorating means getting rid of the old and bringing in the new. And people have a really difficult time. And when we chat with Gail, maybe we can ask her a little bit about that. But it's the emotional attachment. And you really had an emotional attachment to your bedroom set.
Yeah, I did. And plus, it's one of those things because I'm in the cleaning business and organizing is very – it's before cleaning – as you all know, and it's very much part of my
past, your history. Is that what it is?
Exactly. Yeah. And part of your work. Very important that people have a problem getting rid of stuff because it so matters. For me, cleaning my refrigerator is like renews me every Friday or Saturday, whenever I throw out things, and I feel like something weight lift me.
So, Gail is the perfect guest for us. I will say for me, it was. It's obviously getting rid of, and I know from reading Gail's book that throwing away things from your closet counts as one thing. Like, 50 things doesn't mean 50 books.
Right.
I mean, those books that you're getting rid of is one thing. I'm like, that's only one thing.
Oh, right.
Wow. but, you know, for me, I only have limited space on my bookshelves. And so if I'm going to get a new book and put it there, I've got to toss another book. And the criterion, my son just finished a Shakespeare play. He's like, here, Mom, you can have all my, you need scripts. Here's your Shakespeare. Right. And I still had, I'm embarrassed to tell you, my Shakespeare books from high school.
But isn't that wonderful, some of it?
I do.
Some
I'm
of
very
it
attached
is.
To my books.
Well,
I
see,
really
now,
am.
Now you're convincing. No, but so anyway,
right.
so
Gail is
a lot
say,
of what I lot of them. What I brought to Goodwill was books that I either don't need for reference, will never read, or don't want to lend to somebody else. And so I either bring it to Goodwill or I bring it to my library for resale. And the feeling of letting go is just tremendous.
Yeah,
it's,
it is.
You know, it's like you said it, Diana, when we talked about the New Year's, that it's not reinvention, it's hitting the refresh button on the year. And
right.
I feel like when you let go of things, that's when new things have room to come in.
I Absolutely. Just want to say that I had a party last night, and you girls didn't come. Didn't show.
You are a last-minute invite.
Right. I know.
Oh, yeah,
well, anyway, I just want to say this. Tina, so she's listening. She can see that I mentioned what she said, and wanted to know what we have for the show for the tomorrow, and I said, well, throw away 50 things? And she said, well, can you please mention me? Because I feel throwaway expectations should be big. So,
so we'll add that to the questions for our Gail.
All right.
For our Gail.
Yes.
So with that, let me first, before we even bring Gail in, but I know she's listening, that Gail Blanke was scheduled to be with us today, and she's not feeling well, and so we doubly, doubly appreciate that she's taking the time to be here.
Thank you, Gail.
So,
and welcome, Gail.
Gail is one of my heroes because, I think it was her first book, but it's certainly what she's most well known for, and what she's appeared on so many places, talking Good Morning America, Oprah, NPR, talking about that concept of throwing out 50 things, clear the clutter, find your life. And she also does this Monday morning motivational moment that I'll let her tell us about it, and her fifth book is coming out soon. So, And she's the youngest female senior executives was one of the youngest female senior executives of Avon. And while she was there, she launched the widely acclaimed Avon Breast Cancer Awareness Crusade.
Wow.
And it's raised like $100 million to date. So amazing. So, Gail Blanke, welcome to the program.
I'm so glad to be with you guys. I really am.
We're so thrilled to have
you. Welcome, Gail.
Welcome. Thank you.
So I guess you've been hearing a little bit about our struggles to throw things out. And, you know, say we have.
We're all doing a wonderful job of letting go.
It's not easy, though, is it? Can you start by telling us a little bit about the concept of your, now a lot of people talk about clearing clutter, it's not a new thing, but I love the clarity with which your book attacked the problem. It's so specific. And can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to title it that way and what your work was that led you to write this book and this workbook and this website and everything to begin with?
Well, you know, I do a lot of motivational speaking. I do a lot of coaching, executive and life coaching. And my experience with people, all of whom I actually fall in love with, is that the biggest thing for most of us is letting go. Letting go of the past. Letting go of the old view of ourselves. Letting go of the old way we did it. Letting go of our old fears. Letting go of the time we messed up. And so throwing out 50 things, and the concept of throw out 50 things is to, if you can start with the physical stuff, and I call both the physical and the emotional stuff, I call it life plaque.
Oh, love that.
You know,
that's great.
We sort of
that's great.
Built up in the arteries of our lives. And so if you can begin to clear all that out, you can be free. My idea for you is not for you to have the tidiest house on the block, although it sure can make you feel good.
It won't hurt. Thing.
But rather for you to be free of anything that would weigh you down, hold you back, curb your enthusiasm, cause you to play small, or just worry about stuff you don't really need to worry about anymore. And so I have become very passionate about it, and I have a number of steps that I take everybody through when I work with them in groups or when I work with them as individuals. And the letting go thing is the big one.
So we're not talking about just things here, although, you know, in your book and your workbook, it seems to start with objects, and then you get into the deeper stuff, which is what your life coaching is
about. More challenging,
about.
I would say, yeah. Right?
Well, I think it's a good idea to start with the physical stuff, because we've all got that stuff packed around us. And you know, if so many people said, you know, I'm going to do that, Gail, but I just am too exhausted right now. I just don't have the energy to do it, so I'll do it. You know, some other time. And what they don't understand is what you guys have been saying, which is when you do it, it's energizing. It's not
right.
Exhausting. It actually gives you energy. You can thrive on it. And I also tell people, you know, don't make a big deal. Start with the drawer in the kitchen.
Start small.
I can get that thing open,
Yeah, right.
Start small, though. People think that they have to clean their whole house.
Right.
Start small.
Yeah. And Gail, and I like to use the word energize, because I visualize all of those things as weighing somebody down. I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday about this, about getting rid of, their husband collects packages of the plastic forks and napkins and salt and pepper, you know those things? Collects them.
At every takeout?
Right. Yeah. And stores them in drawers, and had napkins from a 40th birthday party, and they're in their 50s. When are they going to ever use napkins from a 40th birthday party?
10 years of plastic forks.
Right.
They have to go.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking it weighs you down. So Gail, can you just expand on that? It's creating
Why
energy.
Why do people hang on to things? What do you
feel? We do because, you know, we... Number one, we think,
makes us feel safe.
I better not waste it. And it's perfectly, you know, workable, so I should just hang on to it. But what we don't realize is that all this stuff that builds up brings us down. And that clarity, and this is what we really want in our lives. We want clarity. And you build up all this life plaque, and it blurs your vision of yourself. It blurs your vision of what's possible. It overcomplicates stuff that should really be simple. So if you want to think of distilling, editing, clarifying your life and what's really, really important to you now. It's a brand new year, never before been touched. No dies cast, no promises are made yet or broken. It's open for you to take it. And so to take it and make it not just, okay, I hope it's better than last year. Not that. But something really, really good that would go down in your own history book as one of the all-time great. One of the first things to do is dump the stuff that could possibly slow you down. And, you know, and back to the drawer in the kitchen, if you just start there, get rid of those dead batteries, step tubes of crazy glue, old receipts, you know.
I also feel...
haven't opened up anything in decades. You don't even know what they're for, you know.
Yeah.
Rid of it.
Yeah. I also feel, Gail, that it's so important that we had an organizing person at a show before, and she had mentioned where do we start, and she said start with your pocketbook, with your more personal thing, because that is the place that belongs to you only, and you cannot have an excuse saying, oh my God, you know, my husband put stuff there, and my children put, it's just kind of, yeah, that... Start small and start. Just start.
Yeah, someplace. And I think, and it makes you feel really good about yourself. And then you move on to other stuff. You know, you move on to your closet. Now, this is a good time to take a look at that. And then you throw out the, or give away the sweaters that are too small. At the same time, you might.
Or too big. Let's be optimistic.
you might let go of the too small view you have of what's possible in your life. But the thing that I've found is, when people get warmed up, you know, they go into the closet, if you have an attic, of course that takes, you know, that's usually the last place people want to go, but when they do, it's just thrilling.
Yeah.
But you start getting warmed up with the physical stuff, you really get warmed up. And everybody I work with, I ask them to go home and throw out 50 things, and then they have to bring back a list. If they're coming into my office, they have to bring back a list of what they've thrown out, because, you know, they have to write it down. And, you know, sometimes it's like a stand-up comedy routine when people say, okay, here's what I've thrown out. But this one woman came back, and she didn't want to talk about it. She said, let's talk about something else. I said, no, come on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. This is your assignment. She said, okay, fine. I'll tell you what I did. I went home, and I threw out the guy that I'd been living with.
Boy, she took it to heart.
Because, Gail, he was crowding me, he was making me mad at myself, he was curbing my enthusiasm, he was making all the stuff that you say. And then she looked at me and she said, oh, worried. And she said, so, do I still have to throw out 49 more things?
Well, if he took his stuff with him, I think she's covered.
Right, right, sure.
So actually, I think that'll do it for this week.
Yeah,
I love that. Gail, can I ask you a question? You're giving amazing advice. I'm just curious, woman to woman, as to, like, what brought you to this work? Is this something you discovered for yourself? And
did you throw 50 things?
Did you throw out 50 things? Or was this something you had to... do that helped so much in your life that you decided to write the book? I mean, there's always a reason that a book gets written, and it's not usually, quote, to make money. And so what brought you to this line of work?
Well, it's interesting because no matter what I've done in my life, and even while I was at Avon, even though I was head of global communications, I was always responsible for motivating the sales organization.
Hmm.
And, of course, that's, you know, the total heart of the company. And I loved it. There were times when we would do these spectacular events for Avon district managers or representatives and have thousands of people there, and I was lucky enough to sort of be the executive producer and also, you know, be a key speaker. And there were times when I would say to whoever was standing next to me, I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. Because that's how much I loved it.
It's your calling.
And while I was there, I created a new division for Avon called Avon Life Designs.
What?
And it was Avon Life Designs.
Wow.
And it was oriented towards, you know, working women who wanted to create lives that thrilled them.
Oh,
and
that.
To sort of bring their whole selves into whatever game they wanted to play. And the key steps were built around what would, you know, drop-dead good look like for you in your life, and what would stand in the way that you need to let go of. And then where do you find the courage to do that, and et cetera. And they're just wonderful. And I fell in love with the whole concept and acquired the division from Avon, and that's when it became Gail Blanke's Life Designs.
Wow.
And then I expanded it into other areas, my motivational speaking and coaching, and started writing books. But the letting go part was clearly the pivotal moment.
Yeah.
People.
It is. That's awesome. It's the most challenging, too.
It is definitely. We're going to take just a short break to thank our sponsors and be right back. And we'll talk more with Gail Blanke about throwing away 50 things and about her latest book and how you can get her Monday morning motivator inspirational messages every week. We'll be right back with the Life Talk Show. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met. Everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs with that honest and friendly personal service they've been providing since 1994. Local or shipping anywhere. You can call them at 203-459-8762 or simply visit dynamicprinter.com. Dynamic Printing is flexible and they'll help you with the research and advice you need so that your printing needs match your business goals. They're flexible and they're right there in person. Again, it's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. Visit dynamicprinter.com for more information or call 203-459-8762. Dynamic Printing, a proud sponsor of the Life Talk Show. This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. And we're back with the Life Talk Show. Once again, thanking our sponsors this week, Dynamic Printing, Interiors by Diana, Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, and the book, Ben Behind His Voices. So welcome back to the Life Talk Show. Let me tell you, remind you to join us again next week. We always have very interesting topics coming up at the Life Talk Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. And coming up in February, by the way, just a little movie trailer here, we're going to be interviewing Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Can't wait.
About the music, the healing power of music in our lives. So watch our website, thelifetalkshow.com, for information about that. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. If you do a search on The Life Talk Show on Google, we'll pop up. So anyway, welcome back, Gail Blanke. And so we've been talking about throwing out 50 things. And one of the things that I loved when I read your book, and I probably threw away 10 things, so I would have failed the homework assignment in your workshop, but maybe I'll come take it again. There's always room for more. But I loved how you got past the physical declutter stuff and got to throwing out ideas about ourselves that are holding us back. That is such a beautiful concept. You know, it's interesting this morning. I have a plant in my house. It's called a prayer plant. I don't know if you guys know what it is.
Oh, sure.
But, yeah, so it opens up at night and it closes up. And every once in a while, it just kind of starts dying. Like all the leaves get brown. And every once in a while, I have to just totally, and I mean
water
totally.
It?
No. I'm very good. I'm actually, for a person who's as scattered as I am, I'm really good with plants. I just water them on Saturday and we're done. And I feed them occasionally. But this one.
And
just,
I ignore them. Isn't
and
that
you
great?
Ignore them. So, yeah. But what I, and I took pictures of it. Mm. And what I had to do was just cut off everything that no longer functioned on that plant as a solar gatherer. And honestly, for the last 3 weeks, I was taking pictures of dirt, you know, dirt, because the plant is gone. And this morning, a new shoot came up. It's like you have to cut back. You have to cut back the dead wood in your life.
Yeah.
You have to cut back the dead leaves in your plant in order for it to have energy to bloom further to what it needs to be.
To have the new and the fresh come out.
Yeah. So like throwing out the old boyfriend is a really good
thing. That was a great story, Gail. My God, that was a great story.
I have to tell you, I really identify with your love of plants. I have all kinds of plants in our house. I mean, I have palms and ferns and, I mean, all sorts of different ivies and just everything. And one of the things I've learned is, I didn't really know anything when I started buying plants, is that one of the most important things you can do for any plant, inside or outside, is to prune it. It's pruning.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's what gives it, helps it give itself new life.
Renew.
And that's kind of symbolic.
It's a renew. It's,
right.
Renew. As Gail said, exactly. Help it give new life.
And it's hard. It's, I mean, it really is symbolic of everything because it's hard. I'm like, oh, well, this leaf is half healthy. It looks kind of good.
It's hard to do, isn't it?
But when you get rid of it,
refresh.
You can
start
renew. But the thing is, the plant itself is done with that leaf. I mean, when it starts wilting, the plant is done with it. So, you know, you don't have to prop it up. The plant finished with it, you know. And so why, you know, we have to realize the things that we're finished with.
Yeah, like
that weigh us down.
So talk about how you took this concept of throwing away physical things to throwing away concepts about yourself, ideas, old beliefs. Can you say more about that?
And also, you know, and when you're speaking of that, what is more challenging, throwing away the physical, the tangible, or the intangible? Just curious about that.
I think on the surface, it's easier to throw out the tangible stuff.
Yeah.
I do want to make a comment that one of you was saying earlier about, you know, some of the stuff that is hard to get rid of, whether you're giving it away or selling it or, you know, whatever you're doing, these things. And there was a woman I know.
You're attached to them.
Her mother had died, and there were all these things in her mother's attic that had never been gone through. And when she was going through stuff in the attic, at first she was angry, thinking, why do I have to do all this? And then she felt really bad and sad and said, who am I to make these decisions? Hmm. And she was really totally worked up about it. And she said to a dear friend of hers, I feel terrible. I can't do this. I don't want to let go of these things. I don't know what my mother would say. And this friend said to her, here's what you need to remember. The memories are not in the things. They're in your heart.
Mm. That's powerful.
It's okay to let those things go. Yeah, some things can be recycled. Some things can be given to people who could use them right now, whether they're old rugs or dishes or whatever they are. And that doesn't. The memories are there for good. And your mom would understand that.
And it's interesting.
And it just freed her right up. It really did.
That's great.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's interesting because I'm in a lot of families, I mean, I hear this more times than not, it's all of those things that, say, grandma has and or your parents have, and when you're anticipating people passing, where are those things going to? Who's getting the special holiday dishes? Who's getting the lamp? People really hold on to that, and almost to the point where it gets in the way of personal relationship.
And
those
becomes
things,
ugly.
Things get in the way of relationships. And why is that, that people hold that? And Gail, I'm asking that question for you. Why is that, that people hold tangible,
maybe,
I'll use the word tangible again,
things?
Yes.
Value?
Well, I don't know.
Emotional value.
I think it's... it's hard to make, to be the one who makes the decision.
Yeah.
And sometimes I refer to all this stuff, and I'm mainly here talking about the physical stuff. I refer to it as the debris of indecisions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, that's great.
Yes. Wow. We're writing this now.
Debris
I'm
of
writing
indecision.
This now.
We were going away for the weekend, Jim, my husband and I, and we packed all these bags and all this stuff. We brought our dog, and the guy who's the doorman of our building just rolled his eyes with all these bags I was bringing. And I said, I know, I just couldn't decide. And my husband said, why do you bring all this stuff? I said, because I couldn't decide what I needed. So I sort of brought everything I could think of. Well, you do that in all areas of your life. I don't know. I might need this. It might be different from what I think. It might whatever. So I'll just keep it all. How do I know?
Right. just
kind of like
case.
Overpacking, right? When you overpack.
Well, that's exactly what she's talking about. And I think for me, you're absolutely right. When I pack for a trip, and almost always, I just do carry on. I don't check luggage, and that forces you into a decision. It really does. And it's like, well, if this outfit isn't good enough for the party, then oh well.
Yeah. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? You wish you'd brought that other thing. Okay, but they're not going to know what the other thing was.
Right.
So it's okay. I do want to tell you, I was on a radio call-in show, and people were calling in and talking about what they were going to let go of. And this guy had he called in. He'd been very quiet, but he'd been listening. And finally, he said, "Okay, Gail, I decided what I'm going to let go of." I said, "Okay, what is it?" His name was Jake. He said, "I'm going to let go of my old conviction that no matter how hard I try or how hard I work, the future will never be as good as the past." And I said,
"Wow.
Oh. How are you going to do it?" He said, "I'm going to decide every morning when I get up that I no longer believe that." And he and I became email buddies, and he's done it. And he was an entrepreneur, and his business was failing. He was sure that somehow he'd never make a go of it, but he let go. He deleted that thought. He rebuilt his business. He had been married to a wonderful woman who, for a long, long time, who had died a few years earlier, and he was convinced that he could never love or be happy with anyone else. But because he opened his mind to all new possibilities, a new way of working, a new way of being, things started to flood in. And so he's rebuilt his business. He's met this terrific woman. He's been with her now for about a year and a half. She's actually helping him rebuild his business. And all because he let go of that old belief.
And
it'll never be good again.
Is it Henry Ford that said, "What you believe you can and you cannot do, it's true"?
Yeah, whether you say I can or I can't, it's something.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, sometimes those quotes float around and the last person that said it gets the credit, but it's, you know, Gail, I love that story, and obstacles that we put in our own path are the most powerful if we're not aware of them.
What they say, get out of your own way.
Your own way. So for this man to come to that decision, your appearance on that show must have gotten the wheels turning enough that he became aware that it was a belief. So our own beliefs are often unbeknownst to us. Do you find as a life coach that that's the hardest part sometimes, getting someone to admit that they're operating under a belief that they were never aware of before?
Well, there are a lot of people who just say, "Well, see, that's the way it is." I did a workshop for women in a homeless shelter, and they came from actually two shelters into this, what was a two-day workshop. And the woman who ran the shelter said, "Gail, I know that you like these women to talk to each other, but they don't like each other, so they won't talk to each other. So I know that you want them to write things down, but they won't write anything down. So they're just not going to." And I said, "Look, we're going to do it anyway, okay? So let's assume the best." Well, these gals came. They were about an hour and a half late. They slumped down in their chairs looking incredibly sullen and like the last place they wanted to be. But I could understand, to the degree that I was able to understand, why they felt that way. And so we went through the steps of the workshop. And when we got to the letting go part, I talked about letting go of the things that would stand in their way and their old beliefs about life, about themselves. And most of these women, if there were any guy in their life, he was in jail. Those women who had some guy in their life were, on the whole, abused. And so this one woman, I'll never forget her, stood up and she said, "You don't understand, Gail. I'm the type of person who gets abused.
Ooh.
It's the way it is. You just don't get that. It's the way it is." And I said, "Oh, well, was that on your birth certificate? Along with your height, your length, and your weight gets abused? Or, you know, where was it written? Because it's your deciding that that's the way it is makes it the way it is.
And you believe in it, it is it."
And it is, yeah. And, of course, it's very easy to say it's nothing to act on it. But she did. She did act on it. And, in fact, interestingly, when we said, "What did you discover at the workshop at the end?" She said, "I discovered I thought I had no friends, and I discovered that I had a really, really good friend, and it's me.
Wow.
Being herself.
Wow.
She, probably 7 or 8 months later, my phone rang, and this woman said, "Are you Gail Blanke?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, good, because I have Sabrina Smith," which is the woman's name, "in my office, and she said for me to call you because she's 2 months ahead of time in her goal." Her goal was getting out of the homeless shelter and off welfare. "I just hired her," she said.
Oh.
Wow, Gail.
So, I mean,
you must have felt terrific.
She ended up coming into our offices and looking like a million bucks and with her head up and her shoulders back. And it was just, you know, if that was the only good thing that happened that whole year, I would have been okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so gratifying.
It's one of the things that I have to tell you that I discovered. The same things hold us back, whether we're, no matter who we are or what we come from, and that is these old convictions and beliefs that that's the way it is.
Right.
And the fact is, there's no way it is.
Do you think it's age, too? You know, I think about, and I don't want to point out my parents, but, you know, I think, you know, older people tend to be just settle into that. Well, it's just the way it is. Do you think that the older you get, the more cynical?
I think people of all ages can fall into that depending on a whole lot of circumstances. But I do think it's very easy to become resigned. And you can become resigned, too. That's sort of how it is for me as a teenager. You know, you can just make those negative assumptions, but when you draw a line, when you say, okay, I do this thing, and you guys might like this. It's really understanding the difference between fact and interpretation in your life. And here's what I mean. Something happens, somebody says something, and right away we slap an interpretation on that thing. And because we're human, it's usually negative. And what happens is the fact and the interpretation, what it means, get melded together, and that becomes truth, reality, the way it is. And, you know, let's say they don't answer your email, you know. What do you make that mean? You don't make it mean, oh, they must have really loved my idea. You make it mean, oh, maybe they didn't like that so much. And then you... Mm-hmm. Depending on the day, you might say, maybe that wasn't such a hot idea. And then you say, you know, maybe this whole thing I'm out for isn't really that good. You know, maybe I'm not even that good. And the only thing that happened is they didn't answer your email.
Right. And you kind of like, I don't know if you read the Four Agreements, that he said don't take things personally. So that goes in that vein, Gail. That's Nikki.
Absolutely, because we think it's all about
exactly,
us.
Because you take
and
that
most
personally.
Of the time it isn't.
Yeah. And the
like,
way you interpret something.
Why wait to be unhappy when I can be unhappy now, you know?
Right.
I'll give you an example. I am a voiceover talent, and so as all of us here, we all run our own business, and my business is, you know, me is the product by my voice or,
and
you know, your skills.
One
right. And so, sure, but that doesn't mean there is no rejection. That
no,
doesn't
absolutely.
Mean that there aren't clients you don't get. Or,
yeah.
So actually, you know, to say it, I applied to be a voice talent for Pandora Radio for commercials, mm-hmm. and all my friends applied, and they got accepted. I'm like, oh, I'm a shoo-in, you know,
right,
and I sent
right.
them, and they sent back. I was a little later getting in than my friends, so there was a 3-month wait, and I got the email yesterday, and I eagerly opened it up, and it basically said, you know, we loved your demos, but... we really don't
pick
have
your friend.
No. They really don't have. We don't have any call for your type of voice right now. Now that's fact. Interpretation.
Right.
In the first place,
I'm
not good. I'm terrible. Right. Why am I even doing commercials? You know, that would be. Or the other thing I could say. You know what? Maybe they already have an intelligent
female
middle-aged
right.
voice, and maybe they'll use me next time. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's how you interpret it. There's tons of rejection in any business any of us try to
right.
do.
And imagine you feeling that way, given that I don't know if you want to mention that you're the voice of so many very. Well-known in national commercials.
Sure. And that's what I choose to focus
imagine.
On. It's like when I
yes.
was dating, when I would break up with guys, or they would break up with me. Usually it was the other way
right,
around.
Right, right, right.
you know, okay. I learned to say to myself, oh, that's okay. I always meet new men instead of, oh, I always break up with people. You know, and
glass
that,
half
right,
full.
Gail, is that, yes. Well, it, yeah, and it, but it's also like it, interpreting the future differently.
Oh,
the glass
right.
half full is seeing, you know,
yeah.
as it is.
Oh,
but
right.
but that word changed to me, which was, it's okay, Randy, just enjoy your alone time because you always meet new men.
Right.
Totally changed, and it did. I'm happily married. So, again, for the second time, but that's fact and interpretation. The fact is...
We have a tendency to, you know, assume the negative thing because we're afraid. And the probability is exactly what you said, that that your voice, you know, what that connotes is somebody's already got that niche for now.
Right.
So they don't need that.
Right.
But the other thing that's important for us to remember is you can't be everybody's everything.
Right. That's
and,
a good one.
You know, what we want to know is, and what we want to say, and I always have people complete this sentence, I'm your name, and I'm the one who what? What do you deliver for sure every single time? What can you be counted on? That thing that is the essence of who you are, what you stand for, what you're really good at.
What's yours, Gail? I'm Gail Blanky, and I'm the one
nobody
who...
Nobody does that better. I'm Gail Blanky, and I'm the one who enables people to know how good, how powerful, and how necessary to the world they already are.
Oh, you're so beautiful. Thank you.
That is awesome.
Right.
You know, we have about 10 minutes, and I want to get to your fifth book, so we're going to talk about that in a second. But I just will share with you, since I against what everybody told me.
I got teary now with what Gail said.
Nikki's crying. Nikki's crying. When I was trying to get my book published, and you may or may not know it, it can be a long, hard road, but I just felt it had to get done, and it did get done, and I did get a publisher to pick it up. But, of course, you get a few no thank you letters along the way. So I decided to name my file. I didn't name it Rejection Letters. I named it Not the One. That's what I said.
Oh,
not
oh,
the
right.
one.
That.
So it wasn't
that.
The right one. I was just waiting for the next publisher. So it's kind of a gentler way. So, Gail, you have now, you're working on, it's coming out soon, your fifth book, which is based on, I believe, can you tell us more, your Monday morning motivator, inspirational messages, and, can you tell us more about that, and this one chip at a time thing?
With
Mike Angelo,
the sculpting of the Statue of
David.
Yeah.
That's one of my motivators. Yeah, I've been writing. I wrote a column for Real Simple for a couple of years, a monthly column, and I really sort of got in the habit of, you know, putting together my thoughts, sort of pulling them out of the air, and giving, in this case, women something that would help propel them forward, whatever that meant in their lives. So I've been doing it now every Monday without fail for, well, in May, it will be 5 years.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And they're short, relatively short pieces, essays, and people subscribe to them, obviously, for nothing. And I send them, you can find them on my website, GailBlanky.com, or throwout50things.com. And I've just started recording them as well, so there's an audio version. And they have really struck a chord. I'm absolutely thrilled. The number of, we've got thousands and thousands, over 10,000 people now who have signed up for them. And we don't have a firm number in terms of how many they forward them to. But what makes me really, really happy is that inevitably someone, I'll get an email from at least one person who will say, I know you wrote this one for me.
Oh,
wow.
I feel like, okay, that's good. That's really good. And I did write one, maybe a week or two ago, and it was called One Ship at a Time. And I think that, again, this it has to do with letting go and are realizing how good we already are. I mean, this is particularly true of women. We already are good. We already are beautiful. We already are necessary to the world. And I tell the story of Michelangelo. Shortly after he'd finished sculpting that extraordinary statue of David, word went out throughout Italy that this was his greatest work, and that it was beyond anything. And there was a rich guy, a patron of the arts, who lived about 100 miles away, and he thought to himself, well, I'm sure it's terrific, but I mean, it can't be that good. So he wrote a note to Michelangelo and said, may I come and see this David of yours? Michelangelo wrote back and said, of course, come to my studio. So this guy arrives at Michelangelo's studio, and Michelangelo said, there's David there, pointing to the statue. And the fellow who had come to see him was completely knocked out. He was overtaken. He was speechless with the beauty and the perfection of David. And finally, when he recovered himself, he said, I don't understand. How did you know to sculpt David? And Michelangelo said, oh, well, David was always there in the marble. I just took away everything that was not David.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's our job.
To chisel away.
There. Chip away that life debris and life plaque. And it's a constant thing.
I love when you say the life plaque. I love it.
And that's, you know, it does pile up. And
yeah.
We are there. We are there inside. And
it clogs your arteries.
Yeah. Yeah. Our job, like with Jake. Now, I gave a speech and I told the story of Jake a few weeks ago, and a woman came up to me whom I'd never met before, a couple hundred people in the audience. She put her arms around me. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, I am Jake. And I said, but no more, right? And she said, no, I am the new Jake.
Blake, talk to us about her new book. Your new book.
Yeah.
Up.
So I just to finish up about Jake. So now Jake has become someone who's an inspiration to others as well.
Yes. Yeah. Lives on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but so many of all the stories I tell on the elements in all of my writings with stories, and I think the best way to inspire people is with stories.
I agree.
Have found their way into my Monday morning motivators. So I've compiled a collection of some of my favorites and other people's favorites into a book, and it's called The Monday Morning Motivator, How Good Could You Make It? And I call it that because, you know, there's an awful lot of people who've been sort of rolling around in the idea of how bad could it get? You know, if it were really bad, what would that look like? And really, the question for us to ask ourselves is, okay, wait, how good could I make it? Because, yeah, there's stuff that's outside of our control, but there's a lot that's within it as well. Oh, I have to tell you, I saw Michael J. Fox, who's a hero of mine.
Oh, yes.
Recently. He's such a great guy. Sure. He said this. He said, I have Parkinson's. It is what it is. Everything else, I get to choose.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's terrific.
That's amazing. He is. I've read his autobiography, and what an incredible man that he's done.
So if he can do that, we can do that too. So what are we choosing? What are we deciding? Because there is a lot more within our control than we realize. It's true. Hard stuff, wrong stuff, bad stuff happens, but there's a lot that's there for us to control. So what are we deciding? So we are the inventor, and our life is the invention.
And I think
we get to decide.
Gail, I think we need to bring things to the surface in order to fix them. And your thought about taking physically things out and throwing them away, then you dig into your heart and soul and try to find those things that are negative. But you have to bring them to the surface. As that lady at your workshop told you that she felt that she's designed in her life to bring all this men that they're...
She's one who's always abused.
Abused. Right. And if you believe that, then you attract that. But once she got to know that, you brought you brought that to the surface for her, the belief that that's what she does, and then you correct that. Because if you don't know, you wouldn't correct that, no?
Oh, that's the reason to, it's a really, really good point. That's the reason to, you know, read these things, to talk about these things, and to realize that, okay, I'm the one that made that decision. So I could make a different decision. I could change that assumption, that interpretation, anytime I want to. Anytime I want to. That's the thrill of it. We get to decide.
You get the power back.
About what are you deciding?
Right. I think it begins with awareness. Diana looks like she wants to say something. And then we actually just, when you're done with this question, just so we all know, we have 2 minutes left. So I want to find out where, you know, Gail's information, websites, where they get, when the book is coming out and so on. And then we all each end with like a 5 second, 10 second tip. So, Diana.
Well, I just wanted to bring it back to throwing away those 50 things. So for our listeners, and they're out there and saying, I would love to do this. I would love to purge. But where do I begin? Gail, can you just give us just maybe a couple of quick...
she's got a workbook available for free on the
yes,
web.
Yes, well, I know. But, you know, just a couple of quick, say one or two things in your that can start the process of getting rid of purging those 50 things.
I think the workbook really takes you through the key elements of Throughout 50 Things, the book. I mean, it's just a great companion where you write this stuff down. Writing things down is a really important thing to do. And it's really easy to follow. It's got an index in the book, in the back, just as the book does, that tells you lots of places that can help you, responsibly recycle. And, you know, there's wonderful...
A quick question, Gail. What is the one thing you can advise a person to start creating their own masterpiece, to create their own masterpiece?
I think the first thing is to ask yourself this question. If absolutely anything were possible, what would I love to make happen? It all starts with a vision.
Love that.
Walt Disney said you got to build the castle first.
I think we're going to count that as your parting tip. But before we let you go, tell us about when your book is coming out, how people can get it, and what's the quickest way to get in touch with you for coaching or advice, your website. What information do you want us to get out there about you?
Okay, my email is gail@gailblanky.com, and the website is... throwout50things.com. And the book, The Monday Morning Motivator, will be available on Amazon starting, I think it will be up there in about three weeks.
Awesome.
So if they could look for that, and of course you can buy it straight from Amazon or any number of other things. I'm doing a number of different versions, including an e-book version and all sorts of different things, special editions, and so all that information will be up there.
Fabulous, and I'm sure the information's on your website as well. Gail Blanky, yes. Thank you so much for joining us today and making it through the whole hour, but, you know,
yay,
barely.
Gail, yes, nice
Gail, thank you so much. It was an honor.
I
thank you so much. It was an honor.
Thank you so much. And we'll just keep you on the line for a second while we finish with our tips. And, you know, my last one is the greatest step toward a life of simplicity is to learn to let go. That quote is by someone called Steve Maraboli. I found it online. I like it. Diana?
Great. Identify what's most important to you and eliminate everything else.
And Nikki?
Nikos Kazantzakis, the famous Greek writer. He did Zorba the Greek and The Last Temptation of Christ. He said, you have... your brush and colors paint paradise, and in you go.
And on that note, we thank Gail Blanky once again so much for
Thanks,
imparting
Gail.
Your wisdom.
Thank you,
Gail.
Thank you so much for
God bless
me.
You.
Thank you. Take care. This has been the Life Talk Show, and you can get in touch with us at thelifetalkshow.com and just go to the contact page, The Life Talk Show.
This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at PenguinsBestHousekeepingService.com. You've been listening to The Life Talk Show on WDJZ AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM. Every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.